Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens filling in for Mark Hochman alongside Channing Crowder here on QAM. Hope everybody's having a terrific Thursday afternoon. We've been talking a lot about the Miami Hurricanes, and right now we're going to go out to the Toyota Hollywood Hotline and talk some more Canes as we welcome in Manny Navarro, columnist and Miami Hurricanes beat writer from The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. Manny, great to talk to you as always. How's everything going today?
Good with you guys.
Yeah, good to have you on here, Manny. Manny, we've been just discussing the final stretch run of this season, and I know you've been around this Hurricanes program for a long time, and as a society, I think we tend to get caught up in the moment. We lose perspective, instant gratification. So I'll ask you this. Where does this rank amongst the most worrisome times since you've been covering this team for the Hurricanes program?
Well, I mean, as far as worrisome, I mean, I think there were some more troubling times before with Al Golden and Randy Shannon, when things blew up there. This isn't a good time for Miami Hurricanes fans, especially with the expectations, the preseason ranking, all that kind of stuff. But no, I mean, what they're going through right now is not the worst of times. It could end up being the worst season in 41 years if they lose the next two games. But I don't feel as troubled as I did during the Al Golden and Randy Shannon years.
And, Manny, is there something has to change? We heard Blake James on with Joe in the morning just talking about him sitting down and evaluating. But where the Canes are sitting right now, I don't want to say a failure of a season, but it wasn't what people expected, you know, being in the top 10 preseason. So what is there going to be something to change? The start of next season, there's going to be changes in the coaching staff. There's going to be changes just somewhere. Is it inevitable?
Yeah, I think so. I think there has to be some changes. You don't go through a season like this and say, well, we got to leave everything status quo. I think Mark Richt, once he's able to sort of swallow his pride a little bit and reflect on the season and, you know, not be questioned in the middle of the season about whether or not he should be calling plays, I think when he has a moment to think about it, he's going to realize, hey, I did the same thing at Georgia and we kept winning football games. You know, I gave up the play calling. I've made, you know, changes on my staff, change offensive line coach, change whatever. Whatever has to be done to get things right, I think Mark Richt will probably come to that realization. He's a good coach. He was successful for a long time at Georgia. He learned under one of the best, Bobby Bowden at Florida State for many years. So this is a guy who has enough experience. I think right now in the middle of the battle, you know, he's not going to come out and say things that the fan base wants to hear. You know, he's just not. He's in the middle of the battle. He's trying to win games. But I think once the season's over, I think we'll get a smarter Mark Richt, and at least in terms of, you know, how the things that are coming out of his mouth and the decisions that he makes.
Manny, along those same lines, is that the way that Blake James is approaching this as well? So Mark Richt is going to say things publicly. Blake James will say things publicly, but behind closed doors, that things will be handled differently, more than likely.
Yeah, I mean, how are they not? I mean, look, they spent a lot of money on this coaching staff. They gave Mark Richt a lot of money to hire better assistant coaches, to pay Manny Diaz to run the defense, to, you know, bring in some guys, Stacy Searles. I mean, he got extra money for the offensive line coach when he wanted to bring him in. So, I mean, there's obviously some responsibility with that, right? If you're not winning or the program's sort of struggling and you know, you're under intense pressure from donors and people that are giving money to the school to produce, I would tend to think there has to be some concessions at some point. And you know, like I said, I think after the season is over and Mark is able to sit down and really look at it, and look at the situation with his son being the quarterback's coach, and you know, I know he loves for that to be the case, to have his son around, to be a part of the program, but that's a valuable coaching position that you probably need another set of eyes. You need somebody with real experience at that position who not only helps you recruit better, but can identify things a little bit better. And I'm not saying John Richt is a bad coach. We don't know. He's 28 years old. But it's an awfully important position to have, and he doesn't have a ton of experience doing it. And I think that's certainly one area that if you're Mark Richt, you know, and you're deciding what do I got to do, what do I got to change, I think bringing in another set of eyes on this offense and having somebody who maybe is really in charge of it and can call plays and make them the main person of the offense, I think that's probably what he's going to do. I mean, I can't guarantee it, but I think that's what he's going to do.
And, Manny, when you have the past of UM football, which the glory days we always talk about, or I say y'all always talk about being back, when you're not back, those older players, man, they get frustrated. The swag of the Canes.
Oh,
and
we
had Thrill on Randall Hill earlier this week, and he was upset. Warren Sapp said some things. How do you feel about those guys? Because they gave UM their identity now. That swag and that emotion and that passion gave the identity. But now when you're down, you can't be mad when those players come out and argue, can you?
No, you can't. And I actually wrote a story this week for The Athletic. I talked to three of the offensive linemen on the last national championship team, Ron Berg and Bryant McKinney and Joaquin Gonzalez, and all three of those guys are pissed as hell. They've you know, been expressive on social media talking about what needs to be fixed with the offensive line and things that they, you know, not just the offensive line, but the whole offense in general and things that need to change around there. And you know, look, all these guys have a lot of pride, man. They won five national championships. They were one of the best programs in college football. And the last two decades, you could argue the last 17 years have been a struggle, man. It's been a struggle to get back to that elite level. We thought they were getting there last year when they were 10-0, but I think we all realize now that that was a product of Manny Diaz's defense and the turnover chain and some nice little magic. But that magic ran out, man, and a lot of these problems have been exposed. You've seen the issues with the quarterback position and the offense. Those are things that have to be fixed. So I think those guys have every right to express themselves and to be angry. You know, some of it hurt the program, certainly. I think recruits look at some of these former guys that were in the NFL that they look up to and inspired them as players, and to see them talking bad about Mark Richt and the coaching staff, it's certainly not going to go over well. But in the long run, man, they have every right to be upset that things aren't going better. It's just the way the U is. And I think it'd be much worse for Miami if these guys didn't care, if these guys were just not paying attention to the program and not looking at it at all. I think in their own way, they are helping the program by being vocal and bringing attention to what's wrong.
Manny Navarro, columnist and Miami Hurricanes beat writer from The Athletic, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Manny, what are Miami's chances in your mind of landing former Clemson quarterback Kelly Bryant as a grad transfer?
Well, I mean, I think they have a shot. I mean, it's all going to depend on his visit here in 2 weekends. I think Kelly's going to come down, sit with coaches, and get a feel for the program and really see where they're going. I mean, he's had conversations with Mark Richt on the phone, and they've talked about, you know, maybe his vision for him when he comes here and so forth. And
we may have lost Manny there. Manny, we'll check on the line there, but that happens sometimes. I don't know if that was Dabo Sweeney hanging up on Manny.
That's what
saying,
he
hey,
didn't want.
No, I'm not gonna let Kelly Bryant go down to another ACC team.
He was supposed to visit Florida too, but I guess he didn't end up going.
Mm.
But there's a list of schools. I think Auburn was on there.
I know he's visited North Carolina a couple times.
Okay, yeah, I know he had a couple schools on his list, but I don't. Man, the whole thing about Kelly Bryant is why would you not want to acquire more talent?
Right.
Like, I thought that's all like football teams at every level, from Pee Wee all the way to NFL, just acquire talent. But
yeah.
I don't know if, you know, at that position, does it cause a problem? That's going to be my next question to Manny would be like, oh, he's back?
We got Manny back.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you pose the question to Manny yourself.
Yeah, Manny, with bringing in Kelly Bryant, like I was just saying to Greg, like, why wouldn't you want to acquire talent? And like you're saying, if it goes well, if he does like UM, if he likes Mark Richt, you know, let's say he loves South Florida and he comes down, is there any fallout? Like, is there any transfers? Is there any negatives to signing
sure.
a grad transfer?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would tend to think that the guys at the bottom of the depth chart, some of those quarterbacks are not going to be happy. I mean, you could have Nekosi Perry be really upset and say, okay, that's it, I'm transferring. But, I mean, these guys have to be smart. It's one season. And, you know, Nekosi, he'll be going into his redshirt sophomore year, so he'll have 2 years after that. Jaren Williams will have 3 years after next season. So, I mean, all of these guys are still young quarterbacks, so maybe they should look at it from a perspective of, hey, we can get Kelly Bryant in here, maybe we can really learn something from him. You know, I mean, Channing, you know, back in the day, we didn't see freshmen playing quarterback, right? I mean, this is all sort of like a new phenomenon, I'd say, in the last 5 to 10 years. Unless these guys were really, really supremely special, where they were going to be the first overall pick in the draft or top five or something, they didn't play until their junior or senior year. So I think, you know, if you're Mark Richt and you can go out and get a guy like Kelly Bryant who can come in and at least give you more talent and give you another person to look at that position, some real experience, then it doesn't hurt to do that. And so will the players transfer? Look, man, all these kids nowadays, they change high schools every other week, right? I mean, so why wouldn't they change colleges, too, if they feel like it's not for them?
I was just going to tell you, talking about we weren't like that. Man, when they put a JUCO transfer come to college, or even the Kane story where, who is it, Tyrone Moss and Frank Gore and Clinton Portis and Edgerrin James just piled up behind each other. I'm going to play because I'm me. They always nowadays, kids look at depth charts and all that. But that's one more question I wanted to ask you, Manny, because like you said, the social media will give you a certain thought of things. Are there as many decommitments from the Canes as some social media sites? And I look at Twitter and they're acting like, you know, the sky is falling. Like, is there a higher decommitment level with the Canes right now than there usually is?
Well, I mean, there's certainly been a couple of them since the losses started adding up. But, I mean, this is one of those things with college football now. I mean, kids make commitments so early on. It's almost bad when kids commit as sophomores and juniors. You got a bigger chance of losing them than you do keeping them. I think, you know, that's part of the issue here. So you've seen some kids that have been committed to Miami for a while step away. In the end, man, the kids that really want to be at Miami, the kids that really want to be at Florida State, that's been their lifelong dream to play for that school, they're always going to end up coming here. The kids that are on the fringes, I mean, sometimes to me it just comes down to coaching changes, relationships, that kind of stuff. You know, the winning and losing on the field, I think that's usually like the last thing that they care about. I mean, most of the time when this program's going real bad and struggling like Miami is, kids might look at it and say, you know what, I want to go there because I'll get an opportunity to play faster. The guys that aren't doing it. So, I mean, there's so many different factors, Channing. In the long run, I mean, I think the Hurricanes are going to still end up with a good signing class here. Certainly some guys who are going to be cornerstones for the next few years, especially on the defensive side. I think they've recruited really well there, especially linebacker and safety. So, you know, obviously there's some holes. That they might have some holes in this signing class because of the losses, losing a running back here, losing an offensive lineman there. But this is still the University of Miami, and they're still going to recruit well for years to come.
Manny Navarro, columnist and Miami Hurricanes beat writer from The Athletic, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Manny, what has Mark Richt's reaction been this week when asked whether he'd consider playing younger players to get them experience for the future over these last two games?
Well, I mean, I don't know if Mark's necessarily going to do that. I mean, obviously, you know, he's been protecting against the whole redshirt rule, but the majority of the kids that should be on the field, that should be more involved, are kids like Mark Pope, who's one of the best high school wide receivers. You figured, you know, with the loss of Lamon Richards and some of the other injuries they've had at that position at different points of the season, that they figure out how to get him on the field more. I think we saw Cam Davis against Georgia Tech. We saw what he can do. He's a real explosive running back. If Lorenzo Lingard didn't get hurt earlier this year, I'm sure we would have seen more of him at some point here. But I think you try to protect it for the redshirt. If you can get that now, it's sort of a strategy. Okay, let me save the kids until the end of the season. Maybe that's when we have some injuries and we can put them in there. But I think Mark's still going to play the veteran guys. I think you're still going to see Travis Homer out there. You're still going to see Lawrence Cager getting most of the snaps at receiver. You know, and that's just the way he is. He likes playing the more veteran players. But to be honest, yes, we've seen a bunch of freshmen play, but it's been out of necessity. Like, obviously, DJ Skate starting at right tackle, a true freshman. I mean, that's out of necessity because nobody else has really developed. So, at tight end, with Brevin Jordan, he's playing because of the injuries. I mean, there's still holes on this team that have to be patched up with recruiting, but there's some positions, the receiver position, the running back position, where you can take a little bit more time because of so much talent at those spots.
Manny, if we're looking back at the last couple of losses for the Hurricanes, and specifically the Georgia Tech game, I know there's been plenty of criticism. We've already talked about it, about the offensive play calling, the quarterback play, and rightfully so. But I feel like a big part of the loss of Georgia Tech could be attributed to those lost fumbles. I mean, two of them were on special teams. I mean, that has nothing to do with whether Mark Richt's calling the right plays or whether Nicosi Perry's doing the right thing or Rozier, whoever's playing quarterback. I mean, that's just some other errors that are causing them football games.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you go back and look at all four of these losses, I want to say there's at least one or two possessions that have started in Miami territory for the opposing team. I mean, last week, Georgia Tech scored 13 points off of Miami turnovers on their side of the field. I mean, you know, you take away those three turnovers, Miami wins that game 21-14, so, or 21-13, whatever it was. So, to me, you know... They should be winning these games. All four of the teams that they've lost to, they have more talent than them. They're more talented than Virginia, more talented than Duke, certainly, more talented than Boston College. I mean, the reason they've lost those games is because of the ineptitude that they've had on special teams and offense. The turnovers especially have killed them deep in their own territory. If they don't do those things, even with the play calling and all the issues that they've been having in the offensive line, I still think Miami wins two or three of those ball games if they don't turn the ball over.
All right, finally, Manny, we've got this Virginia Tech game. I know we're kind of focused on what's going to happen in the offseason, but they're going to play a football game on Saturday at 3:30. What's the biggest challenge you think facing this Hurricanes team entering this matchup against Virginia Tech?
Well, I think, first of all, it's just how much superior these kids are going to play with. I mean, we saw it last week. The defensive guys, they were playing hard even in the fourth quarter when they were down 13 points. They were still giving a lot of effort. But at some point or another, and I was on the field at the end of that game, you see a little bit of a disconnect from some of the younger players. The guys who aren't on the field who aren't playing as much. They're not into it as much as they are. I think the one thing sort of holding this whole group together right now is Manny Diaz and the defense. Those seniors, those guys all have a lot of pride. And I think as long as those guys continue to play at a high level and play well this weekend, then Miami's got a shot to win this game. I think if Virginia Tech gets up big early, it's a really sort of, another bad start for Miami where they're down, you know, one or two touchdowns. I don't know how this group is going to respond because I honestly feel like what's holding this team together is that defense and just the way that those guys are playing for each other, having that pride for each other.
Manny, we appreciate the time. As always, we encourage everybody to follow Manny on Twitter at Manny_Navarro and read his excellent work in The Athletic, athletic.com. Manny, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Good talking to you guys. Take care.
All right, there he is, Manny Navarro, columnist and Miami Hurricanes beat writer from The Athletic, joining us here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Channing, we've got a lot more to get into, including when we come back. I want to ask you about the situation that's going on in Golden State with Draymond Green. He's making his return tonight. We got Thursday Night Football tonight. We've also got a big basketball game that's going to be on TNT, the Houston Rockets and Golden State Warriors. We don't know what Draymond Green we're going to have. Right? A rematch of the Western Conference Finals. We don't know if they're at peace, if he's going to come out firing. We don't know. We're going to discuss that next year on QAM.